guess we can get done with some preliminary things. I guess the rest of the congregation is at home. Where does that leave us? I'm reluctant to cancel services, folks, until we're told otherwise. So thank you for being here. In consultation with some of our leaders this morning, we are going to be suspending communion after today, just out of safety concerns, fear, you know, whatever reasons, caution, things along those lines, contact, transmission, so on and so forth. So we will have communion today. We will share the peace, although, of course, we're told not to shake hands anymore. So you can just do the elbow bump, or you can sort of kind of grab somebody's forearm, bypass their hand and grab the forearm. Unless, of course, you're coughing into your that would not be good, okay? So the forearm thing may not be the best thing. Or in some, however, some other way of expressing God's peace to each other after the absolution, we still do want to do that. And then we're working on the building in general, in terms of keeping that clean and sanitized, not only for us, but for outside groups that are meeting. Most of the groups are probably not going to be meeting, but personally, I'm just speaking from me, I'm reluctant to shut the building down because of the AA groups that meet here and how important it is for AA people to meet together to stay sober. So I don't know what we're going to do about that, but that's still a work in progress, all right? I will probably, no matter what we do in terms of services, I will probably be here every single Sunday. And because of the software that we're using for this service, we have the capacity to record and then post on the website. So I'm going to be here doing something, which we will then be recording and putting on the website every single Sunday morning at 9:30. All right. So whether anybody's here or not, you know, time will tell. Hopefully, this will still be an opportunity for people to come together and be Christian and be a congregation and encourage one another and grow together and support one another. I'll be talking about that in the sermon today, actually. The sermon today is from the epistle reading. It talks about lessons in suffering. We'll talk a little bit about all that stuff when we get there, okay? So that's as far as announcements are concerned about the situation that's in our culture. Anybody have any questions while we're just simply kind of talking about that? Nancy? Yeah.
We don't have school. I'm not going to have Sunday school.
Right, right.
That's going to be the consensus.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. All right. So then let's begin. It's 9:35. We are here. We're two or more gathered. We are here gathered. So good morning.
Good morning.
And the Lord be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's do that. So let's please rise and sing our first song. Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, in his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Let us pray together. Almighty Lord, my Creator, I confess to you, I forget your power and might. Fail to trust in your ever-providing hands, and am found lacking in my managing of this world you formed. The Bible also says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And let us pray again together. Almighty Lord, my Maker and Shepherd, I confess I, like a sheep, have gone astray, listening to other voices of this world. I have not loved you with my whole heart, and have not loved my neighbors as myself. And we'll pause now for a few moments of quiet for personal confession. And also the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Let us pray once more. Almighty Lord, like those you sent wandering in the wilderness, I justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Forgive me, renew me, and lead me, so that I walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the good news from God today is also from his word, which says that therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. In this Lenten season, as we journey closer to his cross, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for me. So now as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
Chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff in which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name Massa and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The good news of Jesus for today comes from the account of St. John in chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. Glory to you, O Lord. And this is continuation and a fulfillment of the Old Testament reading from the wilderness. So Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. That would be about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And then Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In response to the reading of God's word today, we confess together the historic Christian faith as we find it in the Nicene Creed. And we will pause at that pivot point of the creed for a few seconds and ponder the mystery of God becoming human. Let's confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll continue now with the next song. Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. So let me begin with a little, just kind of a personal account of my little health odyssey the last couple of weeks, because you know that I wasn't here last Sunday, and you know that I had to cancel services the previous Wednesday because of my own little illness. So it all started basically after Ash Wednesday, just to give everybody kind of an up-to-date sort of a thing with some sneezing. I don't generally sneeze frequently, and then a tickle right in there, which caused the coughing. So I decided, let's go to the doctor on Friday, because like Sunday's coming, you know. So I went to the doctor, but she couldn't find anything that was wrong, so just said, you know, take some Mucinex DM for the expectorant and this cough suppressant and see what happens. And so over the weekend, things got a little worse, but I was still here on Sunday. So I went back to the doctor on Monday, and by that time, then that doctor was able to diagnose an upper respiratory infection. So he put me on an antibiotic because a low-grade fever had started as well, and that's the main reason why I had to cancel services on March the 4th, because of the low-grade fever and because I was getting weaker. So the fever ended on Wednesday. I haven't had a fever since the previous Thursday, but I didn't have any energy either. And that's the reason then I had to ask Pastor Fenko to fill in for me last Sunday. And I understand things went rather well, except I think at the late service the battery died because, you know, I'm a Lutheran. I'm going to get every single stinking volt out of that battery before I change it that I can. But anyway, other than that, things went well. And it's a good thing that I asked him to fill in for me because unbeknownst to me, on Sunday morning when I got up, I literally had no voice. I couldn't talk louder than this. And I had a goopy eye. So something else was going on. So I went back to the doctor for a third time the next day, which would have been this past Monday, and gave me a new antibiotic. And I've been taking that since Wednesday, and I'm gradually feeling better. And hopefully we'll be, you know, back to normal very soon. And then at the end of this, the doctor said, I need an x-ray of my sinuses to see what's going on in there. And with any luck, when I get the x-ray, they will find a brain. Anyway, you know that joke was coming, right? Okay. More than likely, what I picked up from the honeymooners who came back from their honeymoon sick and with some of the same stuff. And then, of course, we did the usual hugging and kissing thing that we should not have done. All right. Now, oh, by the way, now Melinda has this. That's why she's not here. She started earlier in the week. Tested negative for strep, tested negative for flu, now went back to the doctor on Saturday, and she's on antibiotics and steroids for her congestion and things like that. So she's got all kinds of energy today that she didn't have yesterday. All right. Anyway, so that's my little story. I'm sticking to it. All right. But speaking of picking up things from honeymooners, let's talk about picking up stuff like coronavirus. I actually had this in my notes for today. I was going to talk about this no matter what. Unfortunately, not a whole lot of us are here. But like I said, we have the technology to record the services and the sermons and things like that. So this will be posted to the website at some point later on today. When it comes to this topic that everybody's talking about, you all realize that up a couple of years ago, we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle, and we'd only hear about it three times a day, at noon, at 6, and at 11. And that's the only time we'd hear about this stuff. But now we have 24-hour news channels. There's nothing to talk about but this. So it's always up there. So you've heard the conversations about good hygiene, right? So please do that. Please practice good hygiene. Let me encourage you to do that. You know that means washing your hands, okay? It also means washing the digits. It also means washing the fingertips. It also means washing for a prolonged period of time. I ran across a funny, I should have included it this morning, Texas coronavirus hand washing tip, okay? You need to wash your hands for as long as you would have to wash them if you were preparing jalapenos and then had to take a contact out of your eye. Okay? So however long that is, that's how long you should take it. Wash them. Okay. Coughing, sneezing, the social isolation, which we're doing here just fine. Thank you very much. Anything? Any other good hygiene that you've heard? Okay, Rob?
Since you asked.
Since I asked. Yeah, yeah. Actually, that kind of leads into what I should have put up on the screen, but I don't have something on the screen for you about this. We're just going to chat briefly about it along those same lines. Not only practice good hygiene, but also stay in good health. All right? Staying in good health is not the same as good hygiene, right? Staying in good health means what? What you eat, how you sleep, how you exercise, okay? All those things, I mean, if you want to get chiropractically adjusted, that's fine too, for the reasons that Rob said, all right? Because, and we're going to get to that in a minute, because the greatest resistance we have against this virus is our health, okay? If we're in good health, and good health is bigger than good hygiene, okay? And then point number three that I want to talk about with you a little bit more this morning is please don't be afraid. Okay? Please do not be afraid. Jesus said that those words more than anything else that I have encountered in reading the Gospels. Fear not, if you like the King James Version. Don't be afraid, whatever version you'd like. In other words, don't give in to the hype, and don't give in to the hysteria, and don't give in to the panic, and don't give in to the 24-hour news cycle where they have nothing else to say. Because this is what makes for ratings. Okay, there's other things going on in the world, and there's much more to life than listening to a 24-hour news channel. It is very natural for us, I'm kind of banging on this drum, because at least it is for me, okay? I'll just say it for me. It's very natural for me, and maybe for you, to give in to fear. Okay, to give in to the anxiety, to get all caught up in what everybody else is getting caught up in. But here's what the Bible says. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Okay? That is the spirit that we have been endowed with. We as Christians are the people who are not afraid. Okay? We're not afraid of big things, and we're not afraid of little things. And we, by the Spirit that lives within us, we do not live our lives in fear and in the hype that other people can't help but live in, because they do not have that same spirit of power and love and self-control. We do. Okay? We are not afraid of death, which is the greatest fear in the world. We don't have that fear when the Spirit is filling us. I have that fear sometimes. You have that fear sometimes. That's when we're sort of kind of facing the reality of death on our own resources. When we face the reality of death in the Spirit, we are not afraid of it. Why? Come on, easy. Why are we not afraid of death? Because Jesus has conquered it. Jesus has overcome death. He has risen from death. He will never die again. He is the one who has the last word. Death does not have the last word in our lives. He does. And his word is life, eternal life. So we're not afraid of death. That's the biggest one. And if we're not afraid of death, we're not afraid of smaller things like sickness or suffering, if that should happen to come our way. We're not afraid of those things because we know from the Bible that those things produce beneficial results. Death produces the greatest beneficial result there ever can be in life, and that is eternal life with God. Underneath that, sickness and suffering produce also beneficial results and outcomes, of which I want to go into at least three. The first one is that it connects us to the suffering of Jesus. One of the beneficial results of suffering is that it connects us to the sufferings of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus actually was made complete in his sufferings. So are we. All right? The more we connect to his suffering, through which he was made complete, the more we also connect to his love, because it was for us. The more we also connect to his mercy, because it is for us. The more we also connect to his peace, because that is also to us. The more we also then connect to his strength, because that's how he endured his suffering. So the more we connect to Jesus, the more we connect to his suffering, the more we connect to those gifts that he gives us through that suffering. Another helpful result of suffering is this. It helps us to reframe life. Because it's just like it's very easy to give in to fear, it's also very easy to get trapped on the treadmill of life. Anybody know what I mean by a treadmill of life? You got to go, 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 go. Deadline, 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 commitment, commitment, commitment. Suffering clarifies that. Clears out the crap, the clutter. Okay, it clarifies what's important. It clarifies who's important. It clarifies what is lasting and enduring, and it clarifies what is not. And if you ever talk to suffering Christians around the world, which I have not, I have read about them, I have not talked to them, but if you talk to them or if you read about them, you know that suffering Christians get it. Suffering Christians know what's important. Suffering Christians know what's lasting, because they and we are aliens and strangers on earth, longing for a heavenly country of their own. That's how the Bible puts it. That's the language out of Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. If you want to read something inspiring today, go home and read Hebrews chapter 11. It is the hall of faith, as it is called in the Bible. There was a third beneficial outcome of suffering, and that was in the epistle reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Okay? I kind of want to unpack that for you a little bit in some more detail. I am watching the clock. I do realize what time it is. Let's just give a little bit of a background and do a little bit of review before we get into these beneficial outcomes of suffering. God has declared us righteous. God has declared us innocent. God has declared us pure. God has declared us holy. No matter what your life looks like, God sees you as righteous, innocent, pure and holy. This is because of the life and the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. Because he has taken the perfect life of Christ and put it over on top of your life. So he does not see the ugly stuff. And he has taken the suffering and death of Jesus. And with that, like a magnet, has sucked out of you all the things that are wrong. All the things that are selfish. Your past and your future. They are gone. They are on him. His perfect life is on you. This is what it means to be justified. Okay? In the eyes of God. That's what we are. That's what you are. And then, by his grace, and by that spirit that he's given us, we have believed it. And we trust it. And that's what faith is. Faith is not just simply knowing what the Bible says. Faith is actually believing the thing. And trusting the thing. And the words that are in there and the God who wrote it. And so therefore, because of the fact that we are justified and the fact that we have believed it and trusted it, we therefore, the Bible says, have peace with God. We have peace with God. We're not running anymore from him. There is no more hostility between us. There's no more suspicion or fear of suspicion. There's no more defensiveness on our part. There's no more anger on our part. There's no more fear on our part. There is only calm and only confidence in him, in his intentions, in his grace, in his mercy, in his presence. And because we have this peace with God, we also then have access to his grace, the Bible says. We have access to his blessing. We have access to his riches. We have access to his favor. He wants to do good to us. He wants to bless us. He's at peace with us. And because of that kind of a relationship, because of this kind of relationship, when we suffer, and we all take turns at it, it all looks different, but we all take turns at it, we can still rejoice. Okay, that was a good song, Danny, by the way, for the sermon song. Rejoice, he is with us. Okay, we're not alone. We are not abandoned. We're not on our own devices. We don't rejoice because we suffer. We rejoice in our sufferings because God is there. He is with us because we are connecting to Christ's sufferings. Because he is reframing our view of life through this suffering. And because he is also working out our suffering for our good. Okay, I've said this a number of times. I'm going to keep saying it every so often. There's no such thing as useless suffering for a Christian. Okay? Romans 8:28. You guys got to memorize this verse. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Got that? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Specifically, when it comes then to our sufferings. Our sufferings are producing perseverance within us. That's one of those beneficial results and outcomes that is happening to us. As we go through whatever misery we're going through, what God is doing is he's taking our misery and turning it into a character development experience. And he is producing within us perseverance. What's another word for perseverance? Persistence. The ability to carry on. Suffering Christians around the world get this because he's been working on them a lot in this regard. You show me someone who has suffered, and I'll show you someone who knows how to not give up and how to carry on. You show me someone who is not used to suffering, and I'll show you someone who is really quick to quit. Okay? Perseverance, then, that is produced by suffering becomes part of our character. It becomes part of our personality. And so does, related to it, so does resilience. What is resilience? The ability to get up again. The ability to not stay down when you're beaten down. It becomes a part of who we are. It becomes our character and our personality. So does patience. That's part of perseverance also. Resilience, patience. What is patience? The ability to wait without complaining. That's why when you go to the doctor, you are called a patient. You are learning the ability to wait without complaining. Okay? That's what patience is. You show me someone who is not used to suffering, I'll show you someone who is impatient. Show me someone who is used to suffering, I'll show you someone who's patient. And so does hope. Okay? Those are all sort of kind of the package and the bundle of perseverance. Hope, by the way, let's be clear about this. When we talk about hope in the Bible and as Christians, we're not talking about wishful, positive thinking that things are going to get better. That is not hope. That's just wishful, positive thinking. They may get better, they may not get better. Hope is different. Hope is an unquenchable belief that God's word to us will come true. Hope is an unquenchable belief that God's purpose for us will be accomplished. Hope is the unquenchable belief that God's destiny in us will be fulfilled. And that's why this hope never disappoints us. The Bible says in Romans 5. Okay? Because God's word is always going to come true. And God's purpose is always ultimately going to be accomplished. And God's destiny will always be fulfilled in us because of the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. And this hope that we have then, that's in our hearts, is based on the love of God that he has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's where we get it from. We don't get it from within. We don't wish ourselves into this kind of hope. This kind of hope, this unquenchable belief has to be poured into us by the love of God that comes to us then by the Holy Spirit, whom he gave us in our baptism and whom he continues to give us through his word and through his Holy Communion. That's how he keeps pouring that spirit into us. That's how he keeps pouring that love into us. And that's why it's important to get together for divine service. Because why are we here? Remember from a couple of weeks ago, why are we here? To be served by Jesus. That's what this is about, to be served by Jesus. So, suffering produces good results, but not by itself. Okay? Suffering produces good results when it is coupled with the love of God in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit that we receive through his word and through the Holy Supper. All right? That's why we are gathering together, and that's why we're going to continue to do so until somebody from on high says somewhere that we got to stop doing this. Until somebody from on high says we got to stop doing this, we're going to continue to do this. And we're going to continue to record it, and we're going to continue to post it on the website. And if people are not up to coming for whatever reasons, they're not up to it. But hopefully you all and others will be up for it. Because this is part of overcoming the fear. This is part of receiving the Spirit. This is part of being filled with the love of God. And as we then continue to gather, and as we continue to come together and receive the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of self-control, we will be able to fight the fear that is around us and tune out to some extent the 24-hour news cycle, which has nothing to talk about but this. And we're also then going to be able to endure our sufferings, whatever they may look like, and which are then going to be able to produce within us that perseverance and that character and that hope that God describes. And in the midst of whatever fear we're living, in the midst of whatever suffering we may be enduring, we're going to continue then to be able to rejoice. Not in our sufferings, but in God and in God's presence, because God's word to us is going to come true, and God's word to us right now is true because it's God's. And because we have Jesus' life and death as a guarantee. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's continue our service then as we receive the tithes and offerings we have brought for the Lord. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, though we are undeserving of not only your mercy and grace, but also of your tending to our daily needs, we give you thanks that you provide all that we need for this body and life. We pray for all that we need, the health of the soul, the peace of the mind, the strength for the body, forgiveness for sin, freedom from condemnation, and a genuine heart that is gifted for service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray you would grant your healing to those whom we name before you, those who are listed in our bulletin, and those that are near and dear to us in our hearts, as we mention their names now, either quietly or out loud. Bind up the hearts of those who are troubled. Heal the wounds of those who suffer in any way. Comfort those who are burdened. Bless those who are leading our nation in terms of dealing with this outbreak. Bless us as we take our wise precautions, but also as we maintain our health and maintain our hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that the witness, Lord God, and teaching of those whom you have called and placed as overseers and leaders in your places of worship here and throughout the world may faithfully fulfill the tasks you've given them, that they may speak your word in confidence so that your truth may prevail and your love and grace be made known to all who hear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we also pray for those who serve our country in the armed forces and in various emergency services, and ask that you would guard them and protect them as they fulfill their duties both here and abroad. For all who work in our communities for safety and order and protection, we ask you would be with them in their service. And for all who use your gifts and abilities that you've given them for the health and well-being of others in various medical fields, we ask that you would guide their care and grant them wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all who commune this day, that through the body and blood of your Son Jesus, offered here in the form of bread and wine, they may be strengthened in your forgiveness, enabled to withstand the temptation of the devil and the fear that is in the world, and be empowered to lovingly serve neighbors in your name. For it is into your hands, dear Lord, that we commend all for whom we pray. We do that trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, with the words he taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. After our closing song, which started a little bit early, we'll have some announcements. If I could trouble you to be seated just for a few moments, just want to highlight a couple of things here in the announcements that you have, or you may not have, depending. Let's begin with midweek Lenten services. We had them on Wednesday. I intend to continue them on Wednesdays. We're looking at the apostles, you know, the various friends of Jesus, and finding out more about their lives. So you're welcome to join us for that until, again, someone says we shouldn't be doing this. AARP tax prep, is that the next one up there? I am told has been canceled. Prior to that, I was going to tell you that there are no appointments available. They filled up really quick because there weren't as many sites available in the Monmouth Ocean area. But now apparently, at least for our Mondays, they have been canceled. And then there's a sign-up sheet. Is that the next one there, Danny? I guess we're going to continue to plan to have it until we're told not to. So there's a sign-up sheet for Palm Sunday breakfast. And then indicate any food allergies, please, when you do that. And then finally, is there a video there for Make-A-Wish? So our mission of the month, we have a little video on our mission of the month. That's our mission of the month. I am to understand, though, that wishes that involve travel have been suspended until travel has become safe. But nevertheless, the need still exists. The wishes still need to be granted. The children still need to be blessed. And so, therefore, we're having our March mission of the month. All right? All right. Did I miss any other announcements that need to be made? So let's remember then a couple of things on our way out. Who are you? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why are you here? to know him and to make him known. Where are you going? I bring the compassion of Christ to people so they can live with hope and joy. Let's go in peace and serve the Lord, folks. Thanks be to God.